You seem to, I noticed that having looked through who your speakers are of late, you seem to be having a theme of counties evangelists. I used to be one of them as well. Because you've had Jonathan, you've had Martin, you're having Mike. I also know, I gather Mike Hensh is coming as well. He's a long departed, well he's still alive, but I gather he used to be in counties about 30, 40 years ago as well. When I graduated, sorry, for the first time, I've graduated three times for some strange reason. When I graduated for the first time in 1991, I joined counties. I spent 12 years with counties in North London. That's also where I met my wife at Moorlands. She's a Moorlands graduate. Actually, Maddie's graduated three times as well. All of them from Moorlands. We graduated first in the early 90s. Then Mandy and I, we went and I've worked in evangelism. Mandy was working in the East End of London, working as a community worker for some URC churches. Mandy's also worked, and she does now work as an emergency nurse practitioner. Ask her later what one of those is. So I spent most of the ministry that I've been involved in, all the ministry has been in London, is either been working as a county's evangelist or working as a pastor, mostly in Baptist churches or part-time in independent churches. We have to also taken time out for academic studies. So that's basically what we've been doing. At the moment I'm currently doing a bit of itinerant ministry, but looking to get back into pastoral ministry. The reason we've had this, reason I've sort of stepped out of pastoral ministry, we had one or two health issues, mainly with the epileptic seizures and things, but I'm now fit and healthy and champing at the bit again, so praise God for that. So that's a very brief summary, but you don't really want to spend all the morning talking about me. We want to look at the Word of God, don't we? So let's have a look at John chapter 15. I ought to say, we do have two children as well. I say children. John, who is 22, and Becca, who is 20. John is doing a degree in theology, and Becca is doing primary education not that far up the road at Cheltenham. Okay, John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have loved my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Wow. It's a passage and a half, isn't it? I was rubbing my hands with glee when I saw this one. In my respect, this is it feels to me, as I read through this passage, it's a pivotal passage in your whole series. Many of the other talks that appear to be sort of looking at some of the outward things, but this one very much is focused upon our relationship with Jesus. So critical in actually reaching out, in the bearing of fruit. So critical is our relationship with him that without it, we become unfruitful. And Jesus uses the example of the vine, using himself as the vine to explain himself. And there are three occasions in Scripture where the term the vine is used. One is in the Old Testament, where particularly in the Psalms and Isaiah, where Israel is described as the vine. Not a very good vine. Pretty rotten, really, if you think about Israel. Cantankerous, awkward, disobedient, rebellious. And then there's the one in the New Testament, in Revelation 14, which talks about the vine of the earth. I probably don't think about that one very often. I'm scratching my head and think, how often have I learned about that one? Apart from the fact we sing the song, come on in and sing, talk about the new wine and whatever, but don't normally talk about it very much. We have the new wine conference, don't we? And that's probably the only time we ever think about the new wine from Revelation 14. And so Jesus, the new wine, it's the true vine. Beginning of this chapter, the Father is the gardener. We are the branches. So all true Christian believers are the branches. And already over the past 4 weeks, hopefully you've grasped what the fruit is, some of the things about what the fruit are. Yes, it's leading others to Christ or helping them on their spiritual journey. The harvest, things like holiness from Romans chapter 6. The fruit of the Spirit you're going to be looking at, and I think it's probably next week, is it Galatians chapter 6? Hebrews talks about being fruit. Christian giving can be talked about fruit. Christian service, serving others, good works, etc. And the list can go on and on. So many things can be deemed as fruit, and I'm sure you can think of lots of other different ways that we can be fruitful. Okay, if I could have the... It's already up, fantastic. Didn't even need to look. Right, wonderful. Thank you, John. Right. Okay, firstly, the command to abide and to remain. different versions use the different term. They seem to be changeable. Some of the versions use remain, some use abide. And now, I have to admit, when I looked through the various versions, the only version that seemed to use remain is the NIV, which I suspect most of you are using. The other five versions I looked at use the term abide, which is the title of the sermon this morning. Both are similarly related. I could try starting looking at quoting Greek, but my Greek is useless. All I do is look up vines or... actually, I've got computer programs that do all the work for me, so I'm not an expert, but I can read. So we could try looking at the nuances between the two, but let's be honest, we've got better things to do this morning, haven't we? So the two are interchangeable. Depending on which version you've got, we'll use both. So I can keep everybody try and keep everybody happy this morning. There is a command to remain or abide. Now, if the Bible keeps on repeating the same phrase, I think generally we've got to get the idea that we need to take note. If it uses it once, it's important. If a passage uses it 10 times in the same section, let's take notice, all right? The word abide or remain appears 11 times. One is actually, I'm going to mention it a bit more, but that's he remaining with us. The other 10 times, we need to remain or abide with God. So 10 times. They're all listed. 10 occasions in one passage. Oh, that's pretty heavy going. We need to remain. We need to get close to him. In need. We need it, otherwise it dies. Got a picture I want to show you. I am no gardener, all right? Things grow in our garden, not quite by accident. When I look at a plant or a bush or something, it's is this a weed? Is it a plant? It's that sort of garden. One of the reasons that things do flourish is I'm actually quite good at pruning, only because I'm not afraid to be ruthless. I'm good with the loppers. I'm good with the pruning. I tend to be fairly good with tools and things. But recently we had I put a new lawn in the front. It was bad. It was rough. and it was very unlevel and had to stick two ton of topsoil down and all sorts of things. Got it level, but the problem is the border was too wide. It was massive. It just wasn't worth thinking. So I had to reduce the border and had a bush in the corner. And this bush was quite a handsome beast, and it was a bit lopsided. And unfortunately, as it digging this bush out, it was quite deep roots. And as it was digging it out, one side, the weight of the branch, it was fairly low down. It's quite a significant branch. It started to creak and started to half break. Now, I don't know what the correct way of doing it, but I thought the only way I can try and get this thing to hold on was cable ties. And I didn't even have some decent-sized cable ties. I'd run out of cable ties. So I stuck a few cable ties and just hoped for the best. So those of you who are gardeners think, you shouldn't have done it that way. Well, I'm sorry if it offends the gardeners amongst you, but it's the only way to hold on. It's just hanging on. Hanging on, just about abiding. Just about remaining. I'm sorry it's not a vine, all right? That's no vine. But it's what I could find, a picture. Just about abiding. Just about remaining. At the moment, this bush is not in the best of health, but it's slowly hanging in there, slowly growing. And I just wonder, what about your life? What about mine? How much are we abiding in the vine? How much do we remain? How close are we? Hanging on, just about tied in. The command to remain, the command to abide. Notice, what does it say? Well, let's give the first verse. Verse 4 says, remain in me, or remain, abide in him. Not just anybody, not just some non-entity. Remain in Jesus. Remain in Jesus. Jesus who died, Jesus who gives everything, who longs for us to have an intimate relationship with him. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? That's a joy. That's a privilege. Do we long to remain? Do we long to abide in him? This command is a wonderful instruction. Are we remaining? Are we remaining? Are we abiding in him? He gives us a promise. And what a promise it is. If we remain, abide, he will remain in us. He's there for us. When we remain in him, he will remain and abide with us. But if we don't, straightforward, remain in me, I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Fairly obvious, really, isn't it? You chop a branch off a tree, any bush, any vine, anything, you don't get any fruit. We don't remain close to the tree, to the vine. We're not going to produce fruit. Any fruit that produces is superficial, it's not for real. We have to remain close to the vine. Close to the vine. Crucial. No remain, no abide, no fruit. But there's more than that. Because verse 5, it pushes it up a bit. We say, not just any fruit, but much fruit. Much fruit at verse 8. Much fruit. And we've been, verse 16, because it tells us, we've been chosen and appointed to produce and to bear fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to produce fruit. This is special stuff, isn't it? Been chosen, appointed. We've been selected, we've been picked out to do it. That's our job, that's our role. We are significant that God himself, Jesus, has chosen and appointed us to bear fruit. And through what we're doing, what we've been given. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It's amazing stuff, isn't it? The thing I like about these verses, This is not rocket science. This is not heavy exegesis. Scripture is speaking for itself. It's such a glorious passage. We've been chosen. We've been appointed to bear fruit, much fruit, when we abide, when we remain in him. That's amazing. So how do we remain? How do we remain in the vine? Well, there's some few clues in this passage. There are many other things as well, but this is the clues that are given in this passage. Oh, verse 7. Remain in his words. What are his words? Well, we can start with there. Or these days in here. I did get caught. Did catch one church out the other day. I went visiting just as a member of the congregation, and it was a smallish church, and they weren't quite used to people using phones, and they got the Bible reading out. I pulled my phone out, and somebody said, "Oh, would you like one of these?" I've got it. A lot of churches I go to now, and you have the Bible reading out. Come all the phones, tablets, the lot. Means you can read anywhere, but. That's where the Word of God is. The Word of God is there. Remain in his words. Read them, learn them, know them. But actually, it goes deeper than that. Do the words of God make a difference to our lives? Because the Word of God is not there just to stick in our heads and in our minds. Do they permeate our lives? Because knowledge just puffs up. Knowledge just makes us sound clever. But are they changing and transforming our lives? Making a difference so that people can see the difference in our lives? So that we're different people? So that we radiate Christ because God's words have made a difference? So our attitudes change. So our whole outlook changes. Our priorities change. Our ambitions change. Our whole approach changes. As the Word of God, as God's Spirit speaks to us, has it really made a difference? Remain and abide in his words. That means reading it. That means learning it. That means knowing it. And allowing it to transform us. Remain and abide in his love. Verses 9 and 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in love. As kids go up there, there's all sorts of challenges having children, aren't there? Some respect our kids were relatively easy compared with many. But they love to know the comfort and love experience at home. And just to be able to know that love that's surrounding and remaining in love. You remember the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal son, you know, he made a complete hash of life. Life was a complete disaster. He got everything wrong. It's only when he came to his senses that he needed that love of home. He needed to experience the love of the Father. And for you and I, we need to know and remain in his love and experience his love. That's one of the ways that we can know and remain in his love. Remain in him. To know and remain in his love. I forget this thing behind me. I keep clicking it on, don't I? Obey his commands, particularly the command to love. Much of the latter part of the chapter talks about love. Best example of love is laying down one's life for his friends. The love for God and for love for others is the evidence that we're obeying his commands. There's so many commands of Jesus. I haven't got time really to go into the commands. Are we a people who are obedient? People who want to do the will of God. It's one of the ways that we show that we are remaining in him. Is that our desire, the desire of our hearts? To be obedient people? Or just when it suits? Where are our priorities? To know, and when we're obedient, that we get to know his joy. Next week you're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, one of which is joy. And those, amongst those remarkable words, one of those is joy. We receive his joy Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be complete. So when we remain in him, my joy may be complete when we obey his commands. And that your joy may be complete. That your joy may be complete. It's remarkable. Your joy may be complete when we remain in him, when we're obedient to him, when we remain in his love. That's quite something, isn't it? And people say being a Christian is boring, it's not much fun. It's not what it says here, that your joy may be complete. That's a complete contradiction appearing to what the world thinks. But being a Christian is a joy. Yeah, it's tough. It's difficult. It's demanding. Think about Paul and Silas in prison. Well, that ain't much fun, being locked up in prison, facing death. That's a pretty horrible experience. But they still had that joy that they were able to sing they were able to sing at midnight. But there was that inner peace, that inner strength, despite the adversities they were going through. That my joy may be complete when we remain in him. I've got really time to talk about the pruning process. In verse 1 it mentions about pruning, and sometimes there's a need to cut back areas that aren't fruitful, things that are getting in the way, sinful behaviour, etc. Things that are unfruitful. Sometimes even in church life, things have to be pruned, things that aren't working. One of the hardest things in church life is stopping any activity. Easy to introduce lots of new ones, cutting things that don't work anymore. We need to allow God to cut away the dead wood so that new fruit can be produced. Pray boldly. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my word remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Verse 16. Then after it talks about the fruit that will last, then the Father will give you whatever you wish in my name. That sounds good to me. Fantastic. So prosperity teaching is on then. You can be deliriously happy, healthy, incredibly wealthy. Wonderful, yes? No. That's a shame. Sounds good. Sounds good. You could build a nice prosperity theology there. Yeah, but you've got to look at context. It isn't to do about self-gratification. It's not a mandate for self-satisfying prayers to make ourselves rich, to make ourselves incredibly happy and all that. It's all about producing fruit, things that are for the benefit of others. It's enabling us to become more fruitful. It's asking God that we can become more fruitful, asking whatever is required, things that will last, fruit that will last, so that we could be more fruitful. I remember talking at one particular church one day, and I challenged the members of that particular fellowship, and I said to them, why don't you, I've got a challenge for you. If I want you to do is to pray tomorrow, when you wake up, I want you to pray for an opportunity to share your faith with someone tomorrow. One of the elders, actually, he came up to me sheepishly and he said, yeah, I did that once. It's one of the most scary days of my entire life. Because God honoured that prayer. And he said, I spent the day with my boss. And it terrified him. He said, never again. But at least he was honest. Because he did exactly what was written in this passage. Because God honours those bold prayers. Because it wasn't a selfish prayer at all. It was for the benefit of others. I wonder how bold are our prayers. See, one of the things I've picked up about this church, you're very supportive of those in ministry, particularly mission and evangelism, and praying for specific opportunities for others, for the gospel and for mission, etc. But I wonder about you as individuals. I wonder how much you and I pray for specific opportunities for yourselves to share the gospel. I wonder how bold are your prayers. I wonder how bold are my prayers. How scary are the prayers? How bold? How risky? Last week, Martin gave some examples of the doors, the opportunities that the Lord was opening for him amongst his neighbours. Or at least reaching two of his neighbours. Maybe you want to pray for opportunities in your neighbourhood or in the workplace. That whatever you wish, and it will be given you, then the Father will give you whatever you ask. What's the Lord laying on your heart to ask for? Even if it's that bit scary. Ask for the Holy Spirit to prompt you what to pray for. These are serious promises. God will honour those prayers. Bold prayers. Yet sometimes a little bit scary. Giant mice out there somewhere. Got competition. You and I, are we abiding in the true vine? Are we fruitful labour? Paul in Philippians talked about his life being one of fruitful labour. And he was likely to die, but he knew that if he was going to carry on living, his life was going to be fruitful. Bearing fruit is the norm for the Christian. And sometimes we don't recognise it because we are being fruitful, when probably all of us are guilty of that. We are more fruitful than maybe we think we are. But maybe sometimes we downplay what we can achieve and what we could achieve more, especially if we were bolder in prayer. But key is that we remain. We get close to God. I wonder, how close do we remain with him? How close do we abide in the vine? How close are we? Let's go back to that picture. There it is. Good. And I wonder for maybe a small number of you that life feels like you're hanging on. And perhaps Slaybrook is a bit like the cable tie. You're hanging on because of the good folks here at Slaybrook are just helping you to hang on, holding you in there, just by the edges, just to keep you in touch. You'd like to produce fruit once again, but at the moment it's just a case of just remaining. Maybe there are no easy words, but God promises he will remain in you. And God loves you, and he longed for you to have that complete joy. Maybe search one of the leaders out, or maybe one of the wives, maybe they're a little less scary, I don't know. Find somebody, ask for prayer, ask for support. That's what a church is for. In some respects, it's often described as a hospital, a place for support, a place for retreat, a place for help. Because it's a body, it's a place where we can help one another when life is difficult, when you do feel you're hanging on, when it's difficult, when it's tough. It's not just for the good times, it's for the tough times as well. But for all of us, how are we attached? How close are we really to the vine? Are we really abiding in the vine as a daily walk? No, not as a daily walk. Sometimes we think of being a Christian as a daily walk. It's not a daily walk. It's hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, that encompasses every facet of our life that Jesus is reflected as we bear fruit to the Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we've just looked at just an amazing passage that says so much without really even expanding it. Oh, Father, may we as your people be people who long to abide in the true vine. Thank you for Jesus, the true vine. Lord, thank you that when we remain in him, he remains in us. May we be people who long to obey his commands, long to remain in his love, long to just soak up and obey his word, to obey your word. Lord, for those who are struggling, those who feel as if they're breaking off of the vine, just struggling, Lord, may we just pull them back in, support, nurture and encourage. Lord, help us in that day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute walk with you. Lord, may we be people who are ready and prepared to pray those bold prayers, Lord. May we be people who produce fruit, much fruit, an abundance of fruit for you. Lord, may Jesus be at the centre of our lives, the true vine, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.